Our next speaker is well known to, I believe, all of you. He's served from coast to coast and in the Middle West. He's from Grand Rapids, Brother Stephen Roskowitz. And his subject, if you have trouble forgetting, if you have trouble remembering, you're going to have some wonderful hints given to you how to forget and how to remember. Remembering and forgetting. Brother Roskowitz.
Thank you, Brother Miskowitz. Needless to say, we're very grateful to our Heavenly Father for his wonderful provision that we may be able to be here in your midst. And I'm sure we bring you the love and the greetings from Grand Rapids. There might have been more here, but there is some illness back there. And so those who probably would have been here cannot. But we're glad for those who are here, and especially to meet with all of you again. The subject that we have chosen, I think, is one that is troublesome to all of us. We have probably trouble in remembering the things that we should remember, and we have also troubles in forgetting the things that we should forget. Let us remember, dear brethren, that there is a sin in forgetting, but there is also a sin in remembering. And I think in this mind of ours, this wonderful mechanism that we have in the mind is something that could be and is a blessing that we certainly couldn't live without. Let's take, for instance, the five senses that we possess: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and feeling. These five senses would be worthless without the wonderful power of memory. We can remember a sight, a beautiful scene, and we, going back to this scene, anticipate our rich blessing in beholding this beautiful scene, because our memory has registered that scene sometime before. Smell, we can also appreciate smell, the fine aroma of a wonderful meal, or whatever it may be, the fine aroma of a flower. That too would be useless, so to speak, if we couldn't remember. But by having this wonderful capability of bringing back through memory, we can appreciate that sense also, and the sense of hearing. How much would you get from this convention if you couldn't remember what you heard? So that is a blessing, is it not? If we hear and can remember, we are certainly richly blessed. Taste also. We know, we remember the taste of a good meal or a good food, and some have variations of taste for different kinds of food. But that too is a wonderful blessing that we can anticipate. The meal that is being prepared, we know by memory that it'll be something that we will enjoy. And feeling also. The blessedness of touch, of feeling, is so much more impressed by this faculty that we possess in our mind, in memory. So memory is connected with all of these five senses, and we are also to apply them in our lives. So what is memory? Memory is the mind's power to revive past experiences. But now, we know that under this new life that we're trying to lead, we are to direct or to use this memory for our highest welfare, and not only for ours, but for all of those who are associated with us. We know that this memory should not be a mechanical one. And there are two kinds of memories. One is a memory of logic. The other is a memory of, so to speak, mechanical line. And you know, as we first entered into the way of the Lord, I know from my own experience, I tried to learn a prayer word for word. And I presume that many of you tried to do that, wrote pages after pages of just how I would like to word that prayer and to learn it. I never could. The thought here is that in addressing our Heavenly Father, we are to bring the words out of our hearts. A memory that would recall our experiences before, or the wonderful blessedness that we have experienced under the Father's hand, and so the words will be spontaneous, will they not, in expressing our feeling, our appreciation, our blessedness. So therefore, the kind of a prayer that we'd want to write on paper and see over, as we do see over television and at some public gatherings, where the minister will get up and he'll read the prayer. It is not an effectual one, is it not? And so we see here that memory that we would have would be from the experiences that we have, and that it would be a logical one and not a mechanical one. We sometimes look upon our children as they're asked to say prayer at the table. They word a prayer, and it's rather a mechanical one, and sometimes, to our surprise, they'll put in a few words of their own. And that certainly brings a rich blessing to us. Because the mind, memory is expressing the heart feeling that one has toward the Creator. There can be errors also in memory, but nevertheless, if you would probably take the proceedings of a court, the judge hears errors in memory, where the witnesses will come on the witness stand and relate the experiences, and so the details of the experiences that they're trying to witness have faded, and so imagination comes into the picture. Sometimes they exaggerate the event, and sometimes they minimize it, because imagination fills in. And sometimes people will witness or tell a story and fill out details of it that never happened to make the story look good. And sometimes people will relate an experience that may not be exactly the way it was, but they will relate it the way they thought or they would have liked that this experience would have happened. So you see, imagination then fills in the picture. But we are certainly those who would want to remember exactly the way that the Lord would have us do. This proposition of remembering and forgetting. And when we leave here, we would like to leave this lesson that it's very important to learn how to forget. But before we go into that part of it, we would like to relate that it is just as important to remember the things that our Father would want us to remember. The psalmist uses these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." When these words are spoken, we can't help but call to mind the experiences of the nation of Israel. You remember that their downfall was caused because they forgot to remember. They forgot to remember the Lord's benefits. Now, the Apostle Paul calls this to our attention, the Christian's attention, in 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now, these things were for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And what did they lust after? Well, we remember that as Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they began to experience a few trials, they began to murmur. And they lusted after the flesh pots that they had in Egypt. All they could remember was their selfish hunger for the food that they left behind in Egypt. They forgot the great miracles that was evidenced and shown by our Creator in their behalf. You remember the 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptians. For whose benefit? It was for their benefit. You recall the wonderful experience, the blessedness of their deliverance as they marched through the Red Sea. You would think that they would never forget that blessed occasion. They did sing and sing praises to the Heavenly Father. But it wasn't long after that experience of passage through the Red Sea that they forgot. They were led to 12 wells of water. You remember that experience? And under the 70 palm trees. What does this show to us? It was refreshment. God refreshed them with blessings everywhere they went. Yes, the bitter waters were made sweet, as the waters of Marah, you remember, were sweetened for them. Bread was provided, manna was provided daily for their use, and yet they murmured. In connection with this, these were lessons now, as the Apostle Paul brings, for our use. Miracles, have we experienced miracles in our life? I think we have, because of the miracle that was provided on our behalf through the sacrifice of our loving Redeemer, through the miracle of the Spirit of the truth that brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Indeed, we have something to remember, have we not? Do we have 12 wells of water to be refreshed by? Indeed we have. The 12 apostles of the Lamb were provided. The teachings were recorded for our use, that we might daily be refreshed. The 70 palm trees, the 70 that were sent out into the world to preach the gospel, that those who would have a hearing ear might respond to that miracle of preaching. Have we heard that message? Indeed, we have. Have bitter waters been made sweet for us? Yes, the doctrines that we have once possibly favored were sweetened by the Spirit of the truth. No longer are we confused by the doctrine of eternal torment. No longer are we confused by knowing just what kind of a character our Heavenly Father is, because we know by the message of the truth and by the Spirit of the truth that He's a loving Heavenly Father who has provided a means of a deliverance, not only for the nation of Israel, but for all of mankind. We too have manna provided for our use. And remember how the Israelites had to go out daily to pick this manna to eat. They couldn't pick today for tomorrow, but they daily had to go and provide. And so we too. Sometimes I think we forget to use the means that was provided for us daily. We have, it is necessary to maintain our spiritual life that we daily consume and use the food provided for our use. That's something that we must not forget. The example of the Israelites who left Egypt, how many hundreds of thousands left there, and how many have actually entered into the land of promise? I believe there was only two, actually, of those that left Egypt. So there is an example of the possibilities that if we fail to remember, we will fail to benefit and reach that goal. We'd like to call to your attention one lesson here that I think is important. We were told that in the last days that where the carcass was, the eagles would be gathered together. Now, what drew the eagles to the carcass? It was the food, was it not? It was a picture of the food that was timely for that period of time, so to speak. It was the truth that drew the eagles there. And if we recall the experiences of the truth movement in Brother Russell's day, the enthusiasm and the joy that was shown by the eagles, so to speak, the truth people, because of the carcass, their minds and their attention was on the food that was presented. And so the joys were full. But dear brethren, we would like to call to your attention that possibly the difficulties that may be coming up is due to the fact that many are forgetting the food that is before them and paying more attention to the surroundings that they are surrounded with. I think that if the attention, the importance, is put upon the carcass or the food and less upon the surroundings, upon our individual weaknesses, those are the things that we are to forget. The things that we are to remember is what the Lord has provided. And I think in there, if we keep that in mind, the blessing indeed will come. Now, in this proposition of forgetting, forgetting is necessary. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us this lesson in Philippians 3, 13, 14, and 17. That scripture, these scriptures were mentioned. We will read them to you. Philippians 3, 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before." Why? "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And so, the 17th, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example." There again is the admonition for us to forget the things that are behind. Now how? What examples could we use? I think a wonderful example of failing to forget was by the experience of Lot's wife. When she was leaving Sodom, we see that she just could not forget the things that were behind. And what? The punishment was death, was it not? For failure to forget. The story that we'd like to tell you, I'm not a very good storyteller, but we'll attempt this to bring out a point. The story goes like this. Mr. A, who is a gentleman, was going along the road and he got into the ditch. And along comes Mr. B, and he sees the man in the ditch, so he stops and gives his assistance to help Mr. A out of his predicament. And the feeling was wonderful. And so they parted. A few months later, they met under different circumstances. And this time, the meeting didn't end in the pleasant relationship. Matter of fact, it ended quite abruptly, and Mr. B evidently took a swing at Mr. A. And so that parting took place. And it was years later that they met a third time. And Mr. B went to Mr. A. He says, "You remember me?" And what do you think the answer was? Did Mr. A answer through the unpleasant experience, the remembrance, or did he say, "Gentlemen, I remember you. You're the fellow that helped me out of the ditch"? Or did he grab him by the nape of the collar and say, "You're the guy that hit me in the nose"? Now, the example is here, the lesson, that we are prone to remember each other by our weaknesses, are we not? Sometimes we fail to forget. I think that if we're looking and pressing to the mark ahead, we would have forgotten if it had we been Mr. A and answered, "Friend, I remember you. You're the fellow that helped me out of my trouble." We wouldn't have brought the other experience even to the surface. That is the blessedness of forgetting. Our minds, dear brethren, is a wonderful machine, so to speak. You have found that these calculating machines are very wonderful, but you must learn to press the right keys. And so we too must learn how to press the proper key directed by the new mind that we have learned to possess by the Spirit of the truth. The transformation certainly must take place. So we are looking ahead. We're looking on the things before. Let us not remember the punching experiences of each other. Let us remember the helpful experiences that we would have one with each other. And we will be blessed by it. How many more would be here at this convention if they would learn the lesson of forgetting? How many more would be here at this convention if they learn how to remember the Lord's benefits unto them? How much more joyful would we be if we learned this lesson of forgetting and remembering on all of these points? We certainly would be rejoicing. Now the Israelites, let's recall of this. Let's always bear this in our minds. The goal that they were reaching forth when they crossed the Red Sea was the shore on the other side, that they would save their life. Dear brethren, you and I are going through the Red Sea experiences. But the goal isn't from shore to shore. It's from this lowly shore to one that is extremely high, above principalities and powers. The invitation, when we cross successfully, is to be joint heirs with Christ. Isn't it worth forgetting our weaknesses one toward another? I'm sure it has. And so we'll close with these words of Paul in the 4th chapter of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Roskowitz. Someone asks you later on, what is memory? And you say, why, it's something to forget with. Then you're half right. If someone might say why it's something to remember with, he's half right too. So it's something that we can remember with and something we are to also forget with. Bose, I want to call your attention that after the intermission of 15 minutes, messages from abroad. And please be here. Brother Woodworth is going to conduct this part of the service. And you have a real special treat in mind. I know. Here for you. I know. Also, the electrician informed me that apparently a fuse burnt out here. So if the lights dim a little bit, don't get frightened. It just means he's changing the fuse. That'll be during intermission. Let us close now with hymn number 2, the 1st, 4th, and 5th verses. Remember Me. Hymn number 2.
Thank you.
dear Heavenly Father, once again to thank Thee for Thy loving kindness and tender mercies toward us. We do appreciate the wonderful messages of truth, dear Father, that Thou hast provided for our benefits. May we use them to guide us along this pathway that leads to life and to Thee. Help us to be more humble, more kind, more loving one toward another, that we may show our deep appreciation by being obedient children, dear Father, as we sit before Thee and hear Thy lessons that Thou hast provided for us. Forgive us where we have come short, for we are weak, dear Father, and we depend upon the merit that was provided in our behalf, and may we never forget to always remember that merit and use it. Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy dear children wherever they may be, those who are sick and afflicted, those who are going through various trials and experiences. May these be a means of drawing them closer to Thee and put more trust in Thee. We are grateful for this convention, dear Father. We are therefore mindful and ask that Thou bless the further services of this day. Bless each heart that is here, that the hearts may be open to receive the lessons that are provided, and that we may all be richer when we leave here, dear Father, and more armed to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask these favors and give Thee all the thanks and praise in our loving Redeemer's name. Amen.